to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It is Wednesday, March 21st, 2012, middle of the week, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhana Friday and another hopefully relaxing weekend. I don't know, a lot of crazy stuff going on here. Little program note, next Monday on our show, Kevin O'Keefe, activist, veteran of the Israeli attack on the aid flotilla last May, is going to be on our show talking about dodging IDF bullets and the sheer difficulty it takes to get candy and cookies and Band-Aids into Gaza these days. Now, obviously today, and actually before we get into that, our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Dan's in the control room twiddling the dials and answering the phones here. Obviously, big, huge story. They're just pounding it as hard as they can of this shooting in France, in Toulouse, where a rabbi and three children were killed. And let me say up front, anytime innocent parties are killed by anybody, it is a tragedy and a shame. Period. End of discussion. But look at how the media is treating this thing. Last week, an American soldier or soldiers, depending upon who you're talking to, killed 16 innocent civilians, including 9 children, and it's treated like, eh, no big deal, these kind of things happen. Crazed, lone nut American soldier, it's just, really, feel sorry for him, and that's the end of the story. 3 children get shot in France, and it's a big thing, it's the big news thing. Oh, how horrible it is there. Sarkozy's out there saying, there's a monster on the loose. By the way, have you noticed how the story has mutated? Originally, it was they were neo-Nazis inspired by, you know, Breivik up there in Norway. They were neo-Nazis, and they even had a picture of the guy they said had done it, and he's in a neo-Nazi uniform with his two buddies doing that whole Sieg Heil thing. Now, all of a sudden, it's back to the Muslims. So Sarkozy's out there screaming, there's a monster on the loose, and everybody's pounding this for every bit of propaganda value they can get. They're going crazy over there in France. And they may have a reason to. Little side note here. 50 years ago, there was this very strange story called The Cursed Bread of Pont Saint-Esprit, where the residents of this town just went through this horrible experience of visions and hallucinations. It turns out the U.S., the CIA, was conducting one of their LSD experiments, and they did it over there in that France and village. So if you are in that part of France and people are acting a little strange, they have a reason. Cut them some slack. They're victims of the MK-Ultra situation. But getting back to the situation over there in France, everybody is just pounding this thing. How horrible it was. And yes, it's horrible. Okay, but if there's a monster on the loose in France, then there are monsters on the loose in Afghanistan. And if killing 3 children in France is a horrible tragedy deserving the world's condemnation, then killing 9 children in Afghanistan deserves no less. And just, this is a case study in how the media will spin the news to favor a certain point of view. Now, there's this interesting situation going on in Europe with Baroness Ashton, who made the same point that I just made, that innocent children being killed anywhere is a tragedy, whether it's France or Afghanistan or Gaza. And, of course, Israel's, you know, cheerleaders just are in a fury. No, you can't draw a line of equivalency between 3 children killed in France who are Jewish and those non-Jewish children killed by Israelis in Palestine. Okay, so we got 3 kids who died in France, and that's a tragedy. But the Israelis have killed 1,463 Palestinian children in Gaza since September 29th, 2000, and nobody seems to really make a big deal about it. Eh, that's okay. Remember last week, the IDF shot a Palestinian child 5 times in the thigh. That's torture for being in the exclusion zone. So let us get a little sense of equivalence here. We'll be right back.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dry guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And as long as we're talking about that ugly situation down in Afghanistan, as you know, there is a difference in official story from the U.S. government versus the Afghani people. And given that the Afghani people have never lied to us about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, I tend to go with their version of the story, which was that there were 15 to 20 soldiers, including air support, that killed these 16 civilians, including the 9 children. The story we are now getting out of the official Afghan investigation is that the people in this village were warned ahead of time. They were threatened ahead of time by U.S. troops regarding a roadside bomb that had happened in their village. And apparently the witnesses say the troops rounded up all the men from these two villages after the roadside bombing, lined them up against a wall, and told them they would pay a price for the attack. Now, have you ever heard the phrase kin punishment? It's the phrase the Nazis used when they would go into a town where some unknown party had taken a shot at a Nazi officer, and they would just murder everybody. It's collective punishment is what we're talking about here. This is Nazi tactics the U.S. government is using. And they're trying to hide it from you with this crazed lone nut sergeant cover story that is lame in the extreme. The U.S. government went into Afghanistan, into these villages, and just started killing people collectively to punish them for a roadside bombing that nobody knows who did it. It's Nazi tactics. The U.S. government is the Fourth Reich. And people are very upset about it. How wonderfully lucky for the U.S. government that this shooting in Toulouse comes along just in time to take Afghanistan's massacre off the front pages. How incredibly lucky for the U.S. government that happened. How incredibly lucky for Israel. It drives that kid who got shot in the thigh 5 times off the newspaper headlines. Isn't it amazing how every time Israel and the U.S. government get into trouble, there's always an atrocity that happens someplace else just perfectly timed to save them from a public relations disaster? It's eerie. I tell you, it's just eerie how that keeps happening. All righty, let's see. Moving right along here. There's an interesting story out of Wisconsin, the city of Clintonville. And over the last several nights, they have been hearing late at night these booming sounds. They're calling mysterious rumbling. The newscasters up there are calling them sonic booms, maybe thunder. Nobody really knows, and everybody in officialdom is scratching their head and saying, we have no idea. Which means it's probably some kind of military testing going on, and it's all very, very hush-hush. And I remember listening to the descriptions of these booms up there in Clintonville, Wisconsin. Years ago, when I lived in Southern California, there was a series of mysterious booming noises that were occurring over a several-month period. And, of course, in Southern California, where everybody's sensitive to the earthquake risk, every loud noise, you know, people start jumping. And the news, exact mirror of what we're seeing up in Clintonville, we have no idea. Everybody says it's not them, it's not quakes, it's not da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But some college students with precision clocks and microphones were able to track the sound and determine what it was. It was a shockwave from something flying over Southern California at about Mach 5, descending into Edwards Air Force Base. Now, this was back when there were rumors about a top-secret transorbital vehicle called Aurora that was undergoing flight tests. And so after a while, the booms came to be called Aurora quakes, and people just sort of started tuning them out and ignoring them. But it sounds to me like as we gear up for World War III, I'm sorry, big mistake number three, that the U.S. government is probably once again testing some very top-secret stuff somewhere there in Wisconsin where they hope nobody's going to look. We all know that all the top-secret testing down in Area 51 in Nevada, it's all moved away because too many people are up on those surrounding mountains waiting to see something interesting whiz by. So who knows where they're testing their goodies now. I always thought the Australian Outback would be a great place for top-secret testing. Nothing but a bunch of kangaroos for most of that area. Anyway, an interesting little story. It appears that Romney has been anointed with the holy oil of nomination, and he's heading to the convention with a Super Tuesday, something that looks like a victory. It's victory mania. Not a real victory, but an incredible simulation. I guess you have to be my age to get the reference of the joke there. It was Beatlemania. Anyway, a lot of commentators are saying Romney, in winning his nomination, has gone out into sort of an almost extremist right-wing view, which is going to be seen as a weakness against Barack Obama. But one of Romney's top advisors has gone public saying it doesn't matter what he said to get the nomination. He's going to change his positions after the primaries in order to go against Obama. And he actually used the word, you know, it's almost like an Etch-a-Sketch. You say something today, you shake it, and it's something different tomorrow, which, of course, was my biggest argument against Romney all along. You have no idea what he's really going to do. And now they're trying to turn the fact that Romney flip-flops and changes his mind and says something different to every new crowd. They're trying to make it a positive. Oh, yes, this is how he'll win. This is how he'll beat Obama. He'll just say whatever you want to hear. And that, of course, is a dangerous warning sign. They're basically saying, we're going to lie to you, and you're going to vote for us, and then we'll do what we want. And that's the way America is supposed to work. And no, that is not the way America is supposed to work. We're supposed to know ahead of time exactly what we're getting when we vote for the candidate. And now we've got Romney's top advisor saying, you have no idea, and there's no reasonable expectation that anything Romney has said will mean anything after the primaries or if he should win the election. I don't think he's going to. I don't think he's going to. I think the reality here is, well, I know with Romney heading for the GOP nomination, I'm not even bothering to vote in November. It's a complete waste of time. There's nobody there running that I would vote for. So I'm not going to vote. And that means Obama's going to win. And it's a tragedy. But then it was like the last election. It didn't matter who we voted for. They were both going to destroy the nation. And there doesn't matter who wins this November. They're still both going to destroy the nation. And it's very, very frustrating. All right, I want to talk about over in the Mideast, in the war zone, where they're trying to get big mistake number three really cranked up into overdrive in time to distract us all from the collapsing economy and all the other wars that aren't going very well. Basically, following on the pattern of Libya, it looks like NATO, which is really just sort of becoming a rubber stamp for U.S. imperialism, Israeli imperialism, is basically destabilizing the entire region. Bit by bit by bit, all of these nations are being thrown into chaos, and then in the midst of the chaos, the U.S. invades under some pretext or another. And we really are into World War III here. And the question is, how intense is it going to get? And I think the reason that, at least for the moment, they've backed off of Iran is the risk that they could get into a prolonged conflict with China or Russia and just lose through attrition. I think the U.S. government understands that victory is not guaranteed, and they're trying to optimize their chances, and they still think they can figure out a way to sort of finesse a victory, and I don't think they can. I don't think they can at all. Meanwhile, more and more of these so-called pro-democracy non-governmental organizations, the NGOs, are being exposed as basically CIA fronts. These NGOs promoting democracy in these countries are being outed one by one as intelligence fronts, intelligence operations, spy operations. And a lot of that has to do with the digital age and the fact that activists on the ground who are catching these people doing these things are coming out and saying this is what's going on. This is why there was that situation in Iran where they arrested those Americans from the non-governmental organization. They're rolling up a spy network is what they're doing. Now, we were talking the other day about this war game regarding an Israeli attack on Iran, which for some reason our government says inevitably would mean the U.S. would have to enter the war. And I fail to see the argument for that. Why are we obligated to help Israel in their wars against a third party who has done no wrong to the United States whatsoever? But that's a side issue. Basically, the existence of the war game seems to underscore the fact that Israel is going to attack Iran, even though 80% of their own population are against this idea. But they're going to go ahead and they're going to do it, and the U.S. is going to get sucked into it. So what we have here is a war being started and directed by a tiny minority of the population, even smaller than the 1% who run the economy. And they just sort of expect that you and I and the Iranian people and the Israeli people will just go along with throwing their children into the meat grinder, because that makes profits for the defense contractors, it makes profits for the bankers who are loaning the money for our own self-destruction. And that's the way it's always been, so we're just going to keep on doing it. And they really think you're just going to believe with that thing. There's an interesting little Facebook page that was started by a group of people in Israel, basically broadcasting to the world, we do not support an attack on Iran. And there are a lot of Iranian people who are getting around the Silicon Curtain that's trying to be drawn around Iran, basically come to the Facebook page and say, we understand and we appreciate what you're saying. So you've got the Iranian people and the Israeli people reaching out hands across cyberspace to each other saying, we think this is a really bad idea. The leaders don't want to listen. They want to have their war. And it's up to us to stop them. They can't stop themselves. They're addicted. We'll be right back.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I'm just posting another story up to whatreallyhappened.com regarding yet more vote fraud, where this election was certified down in Palm Beach County. Oh, yeah, Florida. Just absolute sterling example of honest and accurate elections. And two people were declared the winner. The results were certified. Then they found there was an error, and the two winners have been stripped of their victory, and it's been given to somebody else. And it just goes on and on and on. And it just goes back to what I have been saying for many, many years now. And please keep this in your mind. From now through November, if the government cannot prove the accuracy and honesty of the elections by which they claim authority over the people, then the people are neither legally nor morally obligated to obey that government's dictates, to pay its bills, or to sacrifice their children in its wars. The burden of proof is on the government to prove they legally hold authority. Concealing and hiding the fake and fraud is no longer sufficient, especially because they're not even bothering to do it anymore. Ron Paul supporters are finally getting accurate, finally getting angry over the inaccuracies of the election. It's about time, too. I've been annoyed myself. I had another word to use in there. I'm not sure I can say it on the radio. All righty, let's see, moving right along. Getting back to the Middle East and all the kerfuffle over there, Iran has now backed off its threat to close the Strait of Hormuz, not because the U.S. was angry about it or anybody else, but the other oil nations in the region were basically saying, why would you harm us in the middle of your argument with the United States? And Iran has basically backed off and said, you are right, you know, and we will not close the Strait of Hormuz in the event of a conflict with the United States of America. So that excuse for an attack, preemptive attack on Iran, is now gone. Because our government was running around saying, they're threatening to close the Strait of Hormuz. We should just attack them on the basis of that. Now, the Pentagon is in the middle of an Iran buildup. In other words, they're buying a lot of weapons, and they want to start fielding these new laser weapons. These things are hideously expensive. They're brand new. It's the newest whiz-bang gizmo. And there is a problem, because I have been following the development of these laser weapons for a very, very long time. And they sound great, and they sound high-tech. But like most of the other Pentagon boondoggles, there are inherent problems. Because lasers have to travel through the atmosphere, and the atmosphere is not optically perfect by a long shot. Laser weapons can be defeated by clouds, believe it or not. Laser weapons can be defeated by heat waves, and they're fighting in a desert. Laser weapons over long distances, there's the issue of thermal blooming. That small bit of heat energy transferred to the air will roil it and blur the beam at distance. Lasers have as much trouble traveling through the atmosphere as sonar does through the ocean, through thermoclines. Every place the temperature changes is going to distort the beam. These weapons work fine in short-range tests, but over the distances they're supposed to be working, I don't think they're going to have the success they think they're going to have with these things. Somebody just got caught up with Buck Rogers and Star Trek, and out in space, yeah, that's a different story entirely. If you're taking the war beyond the Earth's atmosphere to go up and pop off the other guy's satellites, yeah, you can do that. Speaking of boondoggle, down here in Honolulu Harbor, we have this big floating converted oil drilling platform, and it houses this experimental radar that's supposed to be part of the anti-missile defense system. And they have been working on it. I remember when it first showed up here. I think it was in the middle of the second season for Lost. That's how long it's been. And I remember we were driving back from a location shoot, and it was out there on the ocean being carried on this gigantic transport ship that can actually submerge partially to pick up floating objects. I think there's only three of these in the entire world, and they use one to bring this thing down here. And it'll sit here for months, then they'll take it away, then they'll bring it back, then they'll take it away, and then they'll bring it back. And it's back in the harbor being worked on again, and every time they switch on that radar beam, our local area network starts acting funny. And it's supposed to be able to detect incoming warheads, nuclear warheads, but there's a couple of problems with that. The ionization shield from any re-entering object blocks radio waves. That's why prior to the TDRS satellites directly overhead, spacecraft returning to the Earth couldn't communicate with the ground. It was that radio blackout that really made the re-entries a very, very tense situation. You had no idea what was going on. Same thing applies to those warheads. Because of the heat of re-entry, you can't lock onto them with infrared. You can't get a clear position with them on the radio signals. And just so that you know, the shape of a re-entry body is a naturally stealthy shape. The radar waves bounce off to the side, and the new Russian MIRVs are maneuverable. So this huge, hulking, expensive behemoth down on the harbor, it's already obsolete, and they're still pouring money into it. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you you want to know our real political and cultural history instead of the corporate media or the government school version devised to provide heroes and extract obedience? Then you will want to read The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. Learn how Lincoln's War, the majority of which occurred in the South, squandered the lives of at least 622,000 citizens, centralized government power, and introduced Marxism and militarism. Republic Broadcasting's own Deanna Spingola authored The Ruling Elite. On her daily program and in her book, Deanna is not afraid to delve into controversial issues. Order it now at Amazon.com or on Deanna's website, Spingola.com. The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation. History is Prologue, our blueprint for today. Discover our history to better understand contemporary events.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, and we're talking about all the stuff that's going on over there in the Middle East. And here's an interesting little story. You've been probably hearing a lot about all these sanctions the U.S. has imposed on Iran. You may not use the dollar. You may not do this. You may not do that. And as you probably have been following in recent weeks, these kind of backfired because Iran is actually exporting more oil than it did before, and it's exporting it for currencies that are not the dollar. And it's great for Iran, it's great for the nations that are continuing to do business with Iran, and it's threatening to crash the economies of every nation that went along with these sanctions. So very quietly, and they hoped you weren't going to notice, the United States exempted 11 nations from its sanctions. In Japan and 10 nations of the European Union are now exempt from the United States-Iran sanctions. The U.S. government is still engaged in the sanctions, so your gas prices are going to go up. But in her serene magnanimity, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton announced that these 11 nations, Belgium, Britain, Czech Republic, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Spain, Italy, Japan, the Netherlands, Poland, and Spain, are now off the hook. They can go back to doing business with Iran. But we're going to go on sanctioning them here to just prove how tough that we are. Now, it's interesting that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is running around telling these nations what they can and cannot buy. She seems to think she's a dictator. Emphasis on the dick. But for all the talk about sanctions and controlling Iran's nuclear program, well, Iran is still sanctioned, sort of, kind of, maybe, but not really. It's a joke. We're going to sanction you. Actually, no, we're not. Talk about hoisting with your own petard. Oh, my goodness. Little side note. I'm just putting this story up right now. You probably heard a little while ago about how Obama has issued this executive order about seizing control of all kinds of stuff. And as it turns out, a careful reading of the Constitution shows that any orders by the president, by the executive branch, are only applicable with regard to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution of the United States of America. These orders are really legally only applicable to territory owned by or subject to the exclusive jurisdiction of the United States of America. In other words, Washington, D.C. itself, Sodom on the Potomac, and the territories like Guam and Puerto Rico and all those other areas. The states are not subject to presidential executive orders under the Constitution. So we're just putting that article up there right now, and basically it gives the states the right to tell the president to take his executive orders and put them someplace where the sun doesn't shine. And I think it's about time the states actually did that here. All righty, let's see, moving right along here. The Harper government up in Canada has been looking at the very terrible performance of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, and they're backing off their commitment to buy 65 of them. And that, of course, is a major body check to the U.S. defense industry, which has this wonderful little sweet deal where you, the taxpayer, will pay for the R&D to develop a new weapon, and then the defense companies will turn around and sell it all over the place, making a huge profit while dumping the costs of development onto you, the taxpayer. And then 2 years down the road, they're going to say, oh, well, look, all these other countries have airplanes equal in capacity to ours. We need to develop something new. And they go right back to the taxpayer for more R&D money to start the same scam all over again. And I think Harper's government is doing the smart thing, because these planes, they're not doing well in simulations. They're not doing well in war games. They haven't actually flown in combat yet. They still don't do well when they get rained on. There are all kinds of problems with it. They're hideously expensive. They're gadget heavy, and they're not effective. They're not effective at all. Meanwhile, over in Great Britain, as you know, Great Britain invented what were called the ski jump aircraft, aircraft carriers, rather. And you recognize them, they got that little sort of up ramp on the front of the ship. And the idea basically is, because most of Britain's aircraft are short takeoff and landing, or even vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, they just roll on down the deck of the ship. They hit that ski jump, it pops them up into the air, and the aircraft just basically take off from there. No catapults, no arrestor wires, and it results in much less stress on the aircraft, which means the aircraft can be built lighter, which gives them more range and greater payload carrying capability, because they're not having to be built to have that huge yank down the deck on a catapult, and then that yank to the rear when they hit the arrestor wires. Well, the Joint Strike Fighter carrier version is supposed to work with cats and traps. And Great Britain was looking at a plan to retrofit some of their carriers for cats and traps, and to put cats and traps into their new carriers still under construction. And they're talking about, you know, billions of pounds to do this, and a delay for their current carrier construction program till 2027. And all of this is for this Joint Strike Fighter, which, if you will remember very carefully, can't land on an aircraft carrier because the arrestor hook is too close to the main landing gear. There's a brain fade for you. So when the aircraft lands on the deck, the main landing gear hit the arrestor wire and it slaps it down onto the deck, so the arrestor hook misses it. Now, I'm sure they'll put a little extension on the arrestor hook to get away from that problem, but we're basically at the point. This aircraft is not even in combat service, and they're already having to hack it and tweak it, and now it's going to be flying through the air with this big, long hook dragging out the back. They're not well designed. It's just they take an airframe and they say, let's cram everything in there that we can and put a huge price tag on it. And people are beginning to rethink these. They want to look at more cost-effective, simpler to operate aircraft because that lowers the cost of training the pilots. I mean, if you go back and you look at the lessons of Vietnam, you know, the Vietnam, basically, at the worst of Vietnam, when the American fighters had become dependent on missiles. I mean, the F-4 didn't even have an internal cannon. It had to have an external G-pod. And when they were dependent on the missiles, the kill ratio was like 3-1. They shot down 3 MiGs for every American plane that was shot down. But the MiGs cost pennies compared to the American planes. And so from a purely war by attrition point of view, the U.S. was losing at that point. And they started Top Gun to start teaching their pilots air combat maneuvering to get their kill ratio back up again. And you can brag about how you're shooting down 10 of the enemy's plane for every one of yours, but if the enemy's plane only costs 1/20th of yours, you're still losing from the monetary point of view. And so I think a lot of people, as they go into the war, they want to go with very inexpensive planes where it's not a disaster if they lose one. Especially as these big, expensive American planes don't seem to be working very well. The F-22 still has problems getting oxygen to its pilot. There have been all kinds of crashes from the control systems. F-35, it gets rained on. The electronics start acting weird. And it's just all kinds. You have to, what are these people thinking? And actually what it is the design teams are too big and too diffuse, and it's broken and subcontracted. And where it's falling apart is the systems integration. Because there's always politics involved. We must give the contract for this to this state, and we must give the contract for that to this other state. And getting it all together and getting it integrated. I think the last time somebody really successfully did that with a minimum fuss was the F-18, where half was built by one company and the other half was built by the other company, and they were able to stick it together and it would all work. And you look at more recent disasters like the NASA Climate Observer, the Orbiter. And one team was working with miles, and the other one was working with kilometers. And somebody just missed that boat, and they literally ran the spaceship into Mars. You can be too big and too clunky and too over-engineered and too obfuscated, and I think the nation as a whole, its industry and its products have reached that. Simpler is better. Elegant is better. Able to work without a lot of fuss is better, not only for the consumer level, but for industry and certainly for war. And the weapons we seem to have right now, they work really well kind of sort of in the tests, and then we find out the tests are always being rigged, and when they get out there on a real battlefield, they're going to fall apart. And it's a tragedy because our kids are going to get killed using this really, really slipshod manufactured weaponry and vehicles and aircraft. If you have never seen it, I need to go out and see if it's available on iTunes. There's a movie called The Pentagon Wars, directed by Richard Benjamin. It's based on a book of the same name, and it's a true story about this insider's guy trying to get the Bradley fighting vehicle developed and just how politics turned what was a very simple troop transport concept into this bloated, junked-up, over-gadget-heavy vehicle that really wasn't useful for much of anything. And I think I told you the story a while back. I was out at one of the very numerous shows they have on at our Hawaii military bases, and there was a Seahawk F anti-submarine helicopter, and there was this piece of gadgetry hung on one side of it that blocked off half of the sonobuoy ports. And I was asking the crew, how do you deploy sonobuoys past this thing? And they said, we can't. I said, why'd you put it on there? I said, well, orders. They told us to put it on there. Doesn't do anything, doesn't help us catch the submarines, gets in the way in the sonobuoys, but somebody made money off of it, and so we got to bolt it on the side there. I think I actually still have a photo of that someplace. I should put it up. Sometimes I miss the Golden Fleece Award that they used to have out there about, you know, the $700 toilet seats and just the incredible cost of military procurement. And I got to see it close up and personal many years ago when this visual effects company I worked for at the time, Robert Abel and Associates, we got hired by a defense contractor to help them put together a simulation of one of their ideas for the Star Wars initiative. And it was just ungodly amounts of money. If you and I are running our household budgets on an eyedropper, these people all had fire hoses. It was just amazing to see. They could just spend with wild, reckless abandon. It's a completely different way of thinking. All right, I didn't mean to wander off on a little bit of nostalgia there. Getting back over to the Middle East, interesting story out of Israel. Apparently, there is some kind of a mild epidemic of illness moving through the rabbis of Israel. It could be a flu. Who knows? Doesn't seem to be that serious. But Rabbi Steinman is blaming it all on Ahmadinejad and Iran's nuclear program. That the illnesses hitting the rabbis are a sign from God that they all need to start praying harder for the destruction of Iran. Just getting a little weird out there. Meanwhile, Russia has denounced Israel's repeated violation of Lebanese airspace. There are numerous United Nations resolutions telling Israel, please do not fly your warplanes across the border into Lebanon. That's a violation of their sovereign airspace. It is technically an act of war. And Israel just goes on doing it, saying, we'll just go with our warplanes anywhere we feel that we ought to. And now Russia's basically coming in and saying, we agree with Lebanon. This is unacceptable behavior. So there's another confrontation brewing over that. It's just always Israel provoking, Israel provoking, Israel sending their warplanes where they're not supposed to go, Israel shooting children in the thigh five times, Israel killing 1,400 Palestinian children, and then getting upset when somebody talking about the three children dead in France mentions the fact that Palestinian children are being killed on a regular basis. And it's just so completely one-sided and biased. Our dead children are important to the world, and the other people's dead children, why are you even mentioning them? Or so goes the conventional wisdom here. All righty, let's see. Federal Reserve earned $77 billion last year. They are claiming it's the second highest level of earnings for the Federal Reserve, down from $81 billion in 2010. But it's the second highest level in the central bank's history. Now, they're saying they basically turned around and gave $75.4 billion back to the U.S. Treasury. But this is only numbers calculated on the official U.S. government debt and doesn't mention whatever it is they're making on all these trillions and trillions of dollars they've been loaning out to banks to help them recover from the mortgage-backed security fraud. Because if it was all on the up and up over there at the Federal Reserve, they wouldn't have been fighting an audit tooth and nail as they have been. Remember back when they were saying they would crash the American economy before they would allow a full and complete audit. And so they take $77 billion from the American people. They give $75 billion back to the U.S. government and say, that's just the way we're going to do it. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it is time to basically get rid of the Federal Reserve and go back to the economic system that worked for the American people when this nation was founded. We fought a war to be free of this kind of stuff. We're probably going to have to fight a war to be free of it again. Meanwhile, though, we're continuing to see more and more stories of top-level bankers around the world resigning in droves. What do they know that we do not know? And apparently today, Greg Smith is resigning as Goldman Sachs executive director and head of the firm's United States equity derivatives business in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. This is the guy selling credit default swaps for Goldman Sachs. We know they dodged a bullet with Greece, we think. No big horrendous crash yet. But again, as I mentioned earlier in the week, the second largest seller of credit default swaps on the Greek debt was Bank of America, and we have not heard any word from them how much the claims have been presented against them. We know Bank in Austria was claiming $1.2 billion. The media was saying, oh, it's only $3 billion, which in this day of trillion-dollar bailouts arguably does not sound like much. But we also know that Bank of America, like AIG, did not have cash reserves to cover these credit default swaps, so What are they going to do, and who are they going to get the money from? All righty, we're coming up to this end of the segment here. Boy, the phone lines are really kind of quiet today. And our number is still 800-313-9443, and Dan the Man is still inside our control room answering your phone calls. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about some domestic issues. Apparently, there's been a firebombing of a Texas state senator's office, and more about the TSA. So we're going to take a break for some commercials here, and we'll be back. Where's our music? There it is. Okay. I think our clocks are not totally in accord. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Hi, my name is David Stovenel, and I host a talk radio show called Operation Restore Christian America. To listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. My primary focus is that the Protestant Freemason British Royal Windsor family is now apostate and making their final all-out attack worldwide in an attempt to force us to accept their satanic New World Order. I offer remedies of how to stop them. The British monarchy has totally abandoned their ancestors' genuine Christian faith and have returned to their effort to conquer the world through the sovereign's will, hidden laws, violence, terror, and deceit. Remember, to listen online, go to genuinechristianitynow.com, then click on the Listen Live button every Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time.
Welcome back to the show here. So we're talking about some domestic stuff here right now. In Fort Worth, Texas, there was apparently somebody tossed a couple of firebombs outside the door of a state senator's office. Playing for sympathy ahead of election? I don't know. At some point, we know there are going to be genuine expressions of anger and rage by the American people against the government. By the way, we ran a little poll on whatreallyhappened.com saying we have too much government, the right amount of government, not enough government. And surprisingly, we got a smattering of votes for we don't have enough government, which I think we've identified some of the spies and government people who are reading our website to keep an eye on it, you know, for the FBI and stuff like this. Oh, Rivero says we've got too much government. I disagreed. I'm sure the handler's going to say, you realize by disagreeing that you've identified yourself? We actually found one of our What Really Happened members is on that list of leaked Stratfor emails that WikiLeaks put out. So we know Stratfor is reading the website now. All righty, let's see. We're going to grab a phone call here. Kevin in Australia. Aloha, Kevin. G'day, mate. What's on your mind?
Yeah,
Kevin, are you there?
Hello, Michael.
Yes.
I'm well. Hey, that's interesting. Interesting topic that you were talking about before with the aircraft, the bucket of bolts, joint fighter. Sounds like a pile of junk.
It is a pile of junk.
Yeah. Have you? Are you aware of war games exercise that occurs from time to time between India and the USA?
I'm aware of a lot of different exercises. I'm not sure I'm familiar with the specific one that involves India. You're not talking about part of RIMPAC, are you?
I'm talking about COPE, C-O-P-E, COPE 2004, 2005, and so on.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think it was 2004. The Indians were defending India with their MiG and Sukhoi aircraft. And the U.S. were attacking with their F-15 Air Superiority Eagles and I think Tomcats and a few other bits and pieces. And every 10 engagements, the U.S. were blown out of the air 9 out of 10 times, and the Indian pilots were successful. The American pilots won 1 out of 10 engagements. That went into 2005, I think, where they brought F-16s next time, and the same ratio applied. The Indians were able to engage the American aircraft some 50 kilometres out from when the U.S. weaponry would start to work.
Yeah.
And they were able to blow them out of the sky. I mean, obviously they don't blow them out of the sky. It's all done with computers.
No, but they score the points, and the computer says this is who won and this is who lost.
Yeah. And the U.S. general that was in control of all that, his statement was, looks like we've had an economical rude awakening here that we better do something about.
Can you stay with me through the station break? I want to continue on this topic when we finish these ads in a station ID. We'll be right back.